Sermon text for today comes to us again from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 5 through 13. I invite you to have your pew Bibles open to Luke 11, 5 to 13, and read along as I read aloud. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I guess we've all been inconvenienced. Hopefully it hasn't been at midnight, but you know, any midnight call, it's coming from someone who feels as if there isn't anyone else to turn to, no one else who would be willing to take the call, listen, or consider. Oh, why me? A midnight call means there is a relationship. Oh, why me? Maybe it's not the best or the healthiest, but it's good enough, durable enough, that this person feels like he or she can call upon you and not be sent away with a kick and a curse. Maybe there's no one else to turn to. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.'" So Jesus wants us to suppose that you're asking a friend, not a stranger, or just an acquaintance like one of those neighbors you know by name but haven't gotten to know so well. We seem to have a lot of those. 3 loaves. That sounds like a lot. There's a real need, a big need. Your friend doesn't know who else to turn to. He turns to you. "A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him." So your friend has been surprised by a sudden event, an awkwardly timed arrival, surprised at midnight, and now you are too. Hospitality was of the first importance in the ancient world. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that today. If someone came to you in need, you responded. You just say, Probably most of us could rummage around in our fridge or cupboards or pantry and pull something together. Nothing special, but something. This one who comes to ask doesn't even have that much. Unprepared? Maybe. Desperately poor? Could be. There were a few times in my early years, as I was told, when my mother wasn't just sure what we'd be eating that week. I guess there's always oatmeal or saltines. At any rate, there is a lack that your friend cannot fill, but that you might be able to, might be in a position to, if you're willing. He assumes you're able to, since you've never given any indication otherwise. You've always been a decent, even generous friend before. Sometimes we get called to be generous and patient, even when we aren't exactly feeling it. Jesus knows. And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I mean, yeah, that's a tough situation you got there and all for sure, but it's too late. I have to work in the morning. You're waking the baby. Have you tried the neighbor on the other side? You sure got a lot of nerve. We can always, all of us, find reasons not to help. They aren't always bad reasons. Maybe I'd just be encouraging my friend's irresponsibility and lack of forethought. Time to grow up, get some maturity. It's for your own good that you're forcing me to say no. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Just get out of my life. Oh, yes. There are those who figured that out fast. Shameless audacity. I'm not sure I'd want to be known for shameless audacity. Feels like desperation, maybe even a lack of dignity, an absence of self-respect. Just a hot mess. Well, yes. Still, when it's just that important to you, are you really going to give up, especially when you're convicted, that I have the bread to give? We've all done a little pleading and wheedling in our time, I suppose, made ourselves look a little pathetic. If we get our request, though, even though we've made ourselves look foolish and irritated some people along the way, well, do the ends justify the means? You've just got to ask, though, regardless of how asking may make you feel. If you hate to ask or are afraid, if you let such feelings prevent you, then you'll never know. Pride doesn't go just before a fall. Pride can get in the way of all kinds of blessings. When the need is real, even urgent, will you actually let pride stop you from asking? We're not mind readers here, no matter how nice and convenient that might be. We'd like to be better heart readers, but we need some help to do that. We aren't closed to helping. We just aren't always sure how we can help. We see all that's going on around us, and we know we'd like to help. We just aren't sure how to help. Everyone always seems to ask for money. Well, that'd be great if I had an unlimited supply. Wouldn't that be nice? We don't, but we want to help. And money really isn't the answer after all, is it? Or if it is, why are we even here? You've just got to ask regardless of how asking makes you feel. Jesus tells us as much. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Because Jesus is talking, after all, about what we bring to God, our need, our complicated situation, and our inability to meet it adequately, our lack, our lapse, our failure, our hope. That's big, acknowledging that we don't have what is necessary to meet the challenge or difficulty. It feels just a little shameful. It sort of wounds our pride, asking for help. And we are a proud people in this stretch of Texas, as I know so well. The last thing we're ever going to do is ask for help, even though we desperately need it. Now, there's no shame in finding yourself in a tight spot if you haven't gotten there irresponsibly. But even if you have gotten yourself there through your own stupidity and bad choices, a tight spot is a tight spot. Beloved, it's always going to be need, the keen awareness of our need that drives us to God. Where there is no sensed need, we just drift away. I need thee every hour, the old hymn sings. Amen. Faith is the acknowledgement of need. Need drives us to God, so too faith, the knowledge, the conviction, and experience that God is not like a reluctant neighbor whom we're terribly inconveniencing at midnight, or that we'd better not come back again anytime soon. There, go away and don't come back. If we go to God at all, we go knowing God already knows and knows we will come again many times, maybe even daily, shamefaced, and even a little desperate. And Jesus, in and through whom we know and see our Father in heaven, assures us everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But we must ask, we must seek, we must knock. Have you ever just signaled, yet the person whom you're trying to signal so clearly just doesn't seem to get it? Stupid people, how obvious do I have to be? We can sometimes think we're being so obvious when actually we're not really being all that obvious. We're not mind readers here, nor can we simply gesture toward God in some vague general way and ask as if, why doesn't he hear us? Why doesn't he come? Have you ever received without asking? Sure. And sometimes what you received was just what you needed most in that moment. God is always offering us all a priceless gift so very costly to him. And there remain those who take a quick glance at what's being offered and say, no thanks. Nearly 40 years ago, am I that old already? The Irish rock group U2 sang, "Still haven't found what I'm looking for." If you listen carefully, it's kind of hard to know whether Bono is singing about love for a woman or love for God. That's typical for a lot of their songs, if you know them at all. It's a love for which he has struggled, exerted great effort, he's been working at it, yet he still hasn't found what he's looking for. So does he give up, turn his attention elsewhere, tell himself it isn't worth it? It's just impossible, asking the impossible? No. He continues to stretch, to reach, to climb mountains and scale high walls seeking. He would not do that if he did not believe that what he was looking for was there, available, if he could only find it. We search and search, only to dance the circle and find ourselves back facing what was always there already, once we have eyes and heart to see it. Sometimes that takes a lot of living and a lot of stumbling before we can get there. If we seek, let us also pray for eyes to see and hearts to know when we get there, when it's staring us in the face all along. And if that seeker, that asker, finally does arrive at the door, if the door has written on it in large letters, "Knock," will we just stand there wondering what that means? Stand there feeling rejected and defeated? Stand there afraid? Whether as invitation or command, the next step seems rather clear. Knock! Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Snakes and scorpions again. Jesus already talked about those earlier when he talks with the 72 returned from their mission journey, their journey of proclamation and invitation. They'll have power to overcome snakes and scorpions, shall not be harmed by them. Poison. God does not give poison for food. The only one who does that is this world, this fallen world, the fallen hearts in it, convinced that poison is true food, true drink, imbibing the poison and casting seeds of poison like weeds to left and right. Take a look out there, beloved. We are a sick people, physically, mentally, spiritually. We act as if poison were food, as if what kills us will bring us health, or we just stop caring. People are quick to reject out of hand the one thing that gives true hope, because it's not conforming to their clouded vision for how life ought to be. The only man ever immune to that malady is Jesus Christ. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, how do you feel about what Jesus says just there? Not the Holy Spirit part. That should make us feel good and rejoice. Did you hear him? If you then, though you are evil, dang! Jesus does not call those people lovely, kind, decent human beings. I mean, we all know the kind, decent ones, right? And we know who the, well, We know who the rotten SOBs are too, don't we? My cousin on Facebook reminds whoever has seen his posts all the time, he sure knows who the ones with the right views and the wrong views are, who the angels and the demons are. No bones about it with him. He's very sure. If you then, though you are evil, dang, mean Jesus. Why does he have such a low opinion of people? The old sourpuss? Come on, Jesus, have a little charity. Who here is really going to hear these words of Jesus and say, you know, he's right, we are evil? But maybe you and I, maybe we just might grudgingly acknowledge that once in a while, once in a great while, we sort of go all stubborn, stiff-necked, Scripture calls it. It's those times when we want what we want, when we won't listen because we know what God's word says, and we don't in that moment care. We want what we want. We're right and they're wrong, including God. If he points a direction, we don't choose to go. God pledges himself by his Spirit to help all those who want what God wants. He vows to help them want that also. God always cares. He shows it as he blesses us, sometimes by busting us, always by lifting us to his healing, by his word, for his glory, not our glory, his. For his glory, he blesses us, so that all shall know the true character of God, who takes what is regarded as of little value and causes us to know our true value in Christ through the Spirit. Praise him, his mercy, his grace, his love.